We are holding on Kofiot Gimel Amud Beis, the first line of the wide lines, 8 lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about the Limudim, how we know that when the Torah says, Lois Vashel Gdi B'chalev Imai, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, which on the face of it, Gdi means only a kid goat, and its mother's milk sounds like exactly that, Davka, its mother. So we discussed how, in fact, we know that it applies to all species of animals, and that it applies to all, we didn't so much focus on how we know it's his mother's milk as opposed to any other female's milk that we're going to get into, that we're going to get into. And one thing we mentioned in that connection, we discussed again the matter of Isur Halal Isur, or Ein Isur Halal Isur, that we've learned about before, whether one Isur can be Hal on another. So in particular, we said that if a person were to cook and eat Chalev in Chalev, which anyway is Osir, in milk, or Nevela in milk, would he be Chayev? He'd of course be Chayev if he eats it. He'd be Chayev for Chalev or Nevela, as the case may be. But is he also on top of that Chayev for is he also on top of that chayev for both b'chalav? And we said we had, we said that Shmuel had a limud that said that isu chalal isu, and therefore it is in fact able to happen. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Bominei Rabbi Chadboi Bar Ami Merav." Rabbi Chadboi Bar Ami asks Rav, or on the side over here it says Merova, because Rabbi Chadboi Bar Ami is not a contemporary of Rav, he belongs to a later generation of Amiroim. The Dikduke Soferim has yet another Girsa of it, that the correct thing is supposed to be that he asked Rav Nachman. So he asks him, "Avashal b'chalev gdi shalohi nika." What about if he cooks meat in the milk of a goat that had not yet given birth and therefore had not nursed yet? So usually an animal is only going to start lactating after it gives birth. But sometimes, Rashi points out, sometimes it can start producing milk before it's given birth yet. Would we say that at least b'chalev imai has to mean that the animal has to have already been a mother before in order for one to be chayev, or would that not matter? So he answers, "Midi itzricha l'shmol l'meimah b'chalev imay v'lay b'chalev zachar." Since one of the limudim that we learned before that Shmuel had to say was one of the psukim, one of the times where it says b'chalev imay in its mother's milk, and Shmuel had derived from that that not a male's milk, meaning like we talked about yesterday, sometimes you can have a male has too much female hormones or whatever and starts unnaturally producing milk, and Shmuel had learned from the pasuk that the fact that it says b'chalev imay excludes that. So we can learn Zohar who delay also chalain. So therefore we can deduce from that that Dafka, when it comes to a male, where it's never going to become a mother in the first place, then we would say the pasuk is giving us a miut that if a person were to cook with such milk, he wouldn't be chayev on a daraisa level, or if he eats it. Aval hai, but in the case of a female, kim debal chal aim, she will eventually become a mother. Right now she's not yet, but eventually she will become also, so then it would be also to cook in that milk, and the same issue would apply on a daraisa level. Okay. So now the Gemara says, let's get back to this matter of chalev in milk. Itmar hamavashal chalev b'chalav. If a person cooks chalev in milk, and this is where again in an unpunctuated Gemara it can easily be confusing.
How can he be chayav b'chalev imay if she is not pregnant and she hasn't given birth?
Because that's what we're saying. Chalev imay doesn't mean that she has to have given birth already. It just means that she's capable sometime, at some point, of being a mother, which is true of a female. It's not true of a male. So therefore, so Shmuel can learn from the fact that it says b'chalev imay means if unnaturally, if atypically, a male animal produces milk, then you're not going to be chayev for cooking with that milk. But any female, doesn't matter whether she's actually a mother yet, we're going to otherwise, in other words, the point is Shmuel would not have had to learn that it means dafka to exclude a male. Shmuel would have said that it means dafka to exclude any animal that has not yet been a mother. The fact that he didn't do that, the fact that he only finds that the pasuk excludes a male, implies that all females are included in it, whether they've actually given birth or not.
Well, if that's the case, it should have said chalev em, but here it says chalev imo. It's illogic to say that it can be any female. It doesn't make any sense.
So that's actually
how can we conclude?
Because we're going to learn soon in the Gemara. We're going to learn soon in the Gemara why it says Bachalev Imai anyway. We're going to talk about that. So we're going to talk about that, the various Lemudim that we learn from that. So we'll get back to that point soon. But yeah, the bottom line is that Chalev Imai doesn't just mean its own mother. It means any mother. And what we learned is, what we said is, in particular, according to the Akiva in our Mishnah, who said that the Isser does not apply to birds' meat, we learned that from Halev Imay, implying it has to be a species whose mother produces milk. So therefore, it excludes birds, which don't produce milk, but it does exclude chicken, but in other words, Halev Imay means not its own mother specifically, but any species that has a mother that produces milk.
Some birds do produce milk, actually.
What bird produces milk? By definition, only
bird
mammals. Birds are not mammals.
Some of them are.
No, birds are not mammals. Birds are birds. No. If you mean, for example, bats, which halachically are considered birds and yet they're mammals, fine, okay. But Fine, but bats are not kosher anyway. The whole concept of basar b'chalav only applies.
Well, you're saying all species.
There's no species. Okay, one second. Let's back up a second. There's no species of kosher bird that produces. There's no species of kosher flying creature that produces milk.
No, but we're not talking about kosher now. We're talking about all species.
No, we
That's
are.
That's what you just said.
No. Because the whole issur of basar b'chalav applies only to kosher species. We already learned earlier, if a person were to cook a non-kosher species in milk, if a person cooks horse meat or pig meat or whatever in milk, he's not oivan basar b'chalav. He's also to eat it because it's a non-kosher species. But it's not the issur of basar b'chalav doesn't apply to it. Okay, anyway, let's go on.
No, but Shmuel says it applies to all species.
No, Shmuel never said it applied to all species. He said that it applies to all kosher species. I feel a part of a role. That wasn't Shmuel, actually. That was actually a Braisa that we quoted. Shmuel had learned from various times when it says Lo Savashok Diba Halevimai that among other things that it means that it includes an unborn baby found in the womb, it includes the chalev, it includes where it died without shchita, etc. Yeah. But we never said it applies to non kosher species. All right, so let's go. So now, if a person were to cook chalev, which anyway is oster, in milk, would he be, is he over on the lav of cooking them together? And if he eats it, is he over on the lav of eating it? Again, obviously, he's chayev for the lav of eating chalev, but the question is whether he's chayev for both the b'cholav as well. Now, before we had Shmuel saying that, yes, Shmuel had said one of his times where it says gdi, he had said l'rabas is a chalev, that it comes to include chalev, but of course, not all amiroyim have to agree with that. So Rab Ami for Rab Asi, so Rab Ami and Rab Asi argue what the din is. Chadam aloika v'chadam ain aloika. One says that he's going to get malchus, and the other one not. Now, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that we're not so much talking about the cooking, but we're talking about the eating. If they gave him asra, don't eat this, because basar b'chalav, would he be chayav? Well, lema b'hoka mitzvah. Well, what should we say? That's the underlying machloikas. The manda amaloika kasava isur chalal isur. The opinion he says he gets malchus holds that an isur is able to be chal on another isur. So even though it was already osur as chalev, it can become again more osur and have a new dimension of isur on it because it's basar b'chalav. So do we say that? Where's the opinion that says he doesn't get malchus? Because of an issur, chalav issur is going to hold that one issur is not able to be chal on another issur. It's already osur as chalav, and therefore it's not going to become more. It's not going to become more osur because it's basar b'chalav as well. So he would say, in other words, we would use Shmuel's Limudim for other purposes. We wouldn't use that. Now Rashi brings up a point over here. You hold that Ein Isser Chalal Isser, but given that you have all these extra times that it says Gdi, why can't we say, like Shmuel said, that we learn Chalev from one of them? So he's going to say, so again, he says that you're going to use the word Gdi, these various Gdis, for other Limudim. So Rashi explains, according to the Samoira, it's going to go as follows. One is going to include a shlil, which fine, Shmuel already said that. One is going to be to exclude a shulya, the placenta, the amniotic sac, that he's not going to hold, like we said before, pirsha ba'alma, that it's just waste, and therefore we don't really need a pasuk to be mamayatit. And then you don't need another one for blood and for behemoth tmeya, because anyway, it's an isur, chalal isur, so therefore, so according to him, so, So according to him, then one of them is going to be so one of them is going to be to teach us the basic concept that according to him it doesn't include chaylev because ain't isu chalal iser, and the other two will be for the shlil, the yes shlil, not shoya. Now Maosha points out that we learned yesterday Rashi himself had a slightly different girsa in the Gemara, and Rashi himself said that all three of them are necessary for a drosha. So still, why according to him can't we say that one of them that one of them includes chaylev? Okay, in any case, so you have so according to this opinion, he holds ein isur chalal isur. So according to him, so we're going to say that the machlokas is that one opinion holds isur chalal isur, and the other one holds that, and the other one holds ein isur chalal isur. Once it's already osur as chaylev, it's not going to become more chaylev. It's not going to become more osur because you cooked it with milk. Now, we did point out yesterday, we talked about the fact that it's also bahana, but that doesn't necessarily make it that therefore it should be considered that the isur should be chal anyway. Okay. So the especially we had the point that the Rambam made that if the isur of cooking is not going to apply to it, then the isur of hana is not going to apply to it anyway. Okay. So we're going to say that that's the machlokes. And the answer is loy, the kulama in isur chal al isur. No, you can say they both agree that one isur is not chal on the other. Once it's osur as chaylev, then it's not going to become more osur because it's both of a chalav. He pligi abishol. The machlokas will be strictly as far as the cooking, as he chayev malkus if they give masra before he cooks it. So manda omaloika, the opinion that says he's going to get malkus, has chadi surahu. Says it's all one isser. There's an isser of basa b'cholav. So there's no isser to cook chaylev. After all, you'll make your pot treif by cooking chaylev, but there's no isser in doing it. Therefore, you can't say ein isser chalal isser. There's no second isser to prevent the isser of bishul from being chal in the first place, and therefore he's going to be chayev. You do have a point. You do have a point where if the isur basachas, if the two isurim come together, we've learned before there are opinions that say that will be chal, but we've had that before. But in any case, this opinion would apparently hold that in any case, the point is there is only the one isur over here, because the fact is there's no isur to cook chaylev. Omanda oma ena loika, the opinion that says he gets malchus because there's no other isur to prevent the isur of basa b'chalav, of cooking basa b'chalav, from being chal, so therefore it's chal and therefore he's chayv malchus. Omanda oma ena loika, the opinion that says he won't get malchus, he's going to say v'hochi apker rachmana la'achila b'loshon bishul. Well, you know why? That's why the Torah phrases it. Why did the Torah say flat out, don't eat basa b'chalav? Why did it phrase it in terms of don't cook basa b'chalav? The reason is to teach us, kiven da alachila loy loki, since you have to agree, if you hold ein isur chalav isur, that he's not getting malchus for eating the chaylev cooked in milk, because again, he's only getting malchus for chaylev, and if they forgot to give him hasra for chaylev, then he's not getting malchus. So then Abishol Nami Lailoki, then you could argue he's not getting malchus for the cooking either. Because according to that way of looking at it, when would he be getting malchus for the cooking? Only if it's a case where he'd be getting malchus for the eating. And he's saying, according to you, this opinion would say that you after all agree that he's not chayev malchus for eating because ein yisur chalav isur. Now, Tosfos brings up the question, why don't we say the other way around? You could argue the other way around, which in fact the second lashon is going to be, that because he does get malchus for the eating, therefore he should in fact get malchus for the eating, and we would learn the hekesh that way. In fact, we often have a rule that when we have two choices, what we can do with a hekesh, to be machmer or to be makel, many times, often we say that we take the hekesh and are machmer with it. So why don't we say that over here? So one thing is the Ritva points out, since we have this rule according to this opinion, ain isur chalal isur, then therefore we're not going to when will we say that we'll use a hekesh lachumra when it's not going to contradict any other rule that we know of. Here we know the rule is according to both of these opinions at this point, ain isur chalal isur, and therefore we can't say that we should be machmir because of the hekesh, because that would contradict that rule. Chassam Sofer gives a different explanation that basically which is the primary isser? Is the primary isser to not eat basa b'chalav, and the Torah tells us don't cook it, keep yourself far away from it. So then in that case, the logic is that whenever the eating doesn't apply, whenever the issue of eating doesn't apply, then the issue of cooking is not going to apply either, as opposed to the second answer of the Gemara is going to say the other way around. The main issue is that you're mixing them together by cooking them, and then once it asks you to cook it, then you're also not allowed to eat it. Okay. So fine. So that's one version. So according to that version, then according to that way of looking at it, they're both going to agree there's no malchus for eating it. The machlokes is going to be, is there malchus for cooking it? On the one hand, maybe yes, because there's no other issur to prevent it. On the other hand, maybe not, because the Hekesh teaches us where there's no malchus for the eating, there's no malchus for the cooking. The ikadamri, others say the other way around. Abishol kolamal et pligi deloki. When it comes to cooking it, there should be no question that he gets malchus, because there's no other issur in the way to prevent it from being chal. So the issur of bus of a cholav ought to apply. So therefore, for sure, you get malchus. Keep pligi achila. The machlokas would be dafkan the eating. Manda alma ene loika the opinion. He says doesn't get malchus would say one, because ha ene issur chalav issur, because one issur cannot be chal on the other. And once it's already also as chaylev, it can't become more. It can become more also to eat because it's with milk. Or manda om aloika, whereas the opinion that says that it gets malchus would say lahochi ap, would say the other way around lahochi apkerachmana lachila b'loshen bishul. You know why the Torah phrases this issur to eat it in terms of not cooking it, given that bishul loki, because once it gets malchus for cooking achila nami loki, then he's getting malchus for the eating as well. So in other words, exactly the point that since we have a hekesh that can be used in either direction, then we use it lechumra according. Then we use it lechumra according to this way of looking at it. There is, by the way, an interesting point actually that there was actually an interesting point in this regard that the Rabbi Akiva Eger and other Achronim bring up a point that actually maybe the meat won't be osur because it was already osur. Maybe the meat won't be, well, maybe he won't get malchus for eating a kazayas of the meat in the mixture, because after all it was already osur before by virtue of being chaylev, but maybe at least you should get malchus for eating the milk in the mixture because that wasn't osur before, and you can't say ein isur halal isur for that. So fine, then we'd have to say over here that you're talking about there's not enough milk for that, but not enough milk for that for him to be chayav by itself. Okay, in any case, so that's another way of understanding their machlokas. The boisema, yet another way of understanding their machlokas could be, it's not really machlokas, mara machado, v'lo pligi. Each of them said something different, and they're not arguing. One of them says that, one of them, when he says loika, is talking about cooking them, and the other one, it says ain't a loika, that he doesn't get malchus, is talking about eating them. So each one would agree, so each one would in fact agree with the other's din, and they're just each one saying, there's each one saying half the din. So therefore, in other words, so he's not, now when he says ein loika, he wouldn't mean he doesn't get malchus at all. Conceivably, he could get malchus if they gave masrua for the chaylev, but at least, in other words, that he wouldn't be getting malchus for bas b'chalav. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says meisvi, though. I have a contradiction to that. You're telling me that ein isur chalal isur, and therefore that if a person cooks chaylev in milk, then it's not going to be osur as bas b'chalav. It's not going to be chayev malchus as bas b'chalav. But a brisa says from the vashel b'mei chalav potter. If a person cooks meat with mei cholov, then it's potter. Now mei cholov, Rashi here and in other places in Shas translates mei cholov with a French word mesge, whatever the equivalent of it is in modern French, which means whey. So when you, for example, you're making cheese, you skim off or you filter out the curds of the milk. And what you're left with is a watery liquid that still contains some of the milk solids in it. That's called whey. And in Hebrew, it's called mei cholav. And we're saying then that a person would be potter if he cooks meat in that. Now Tosfos points out, we learned before all about kutach. We learned about eating fish that was cooked that was put in a fleshed plate. And we talked about eating it with kutach. We talked about where a shechted pigeon fell into a jar of kutach, and we had different dinim of that. The kutach is made from whey. So then why? So the point is, Tosfos says, fine, there's certainly an issue, and it just means that a person wouldn't be chayav on it daraisa. On the other hand, the Rosh brings a different point on it. The Rosh explains that no, there's two different things. There's what's called in Aramaic nisyuve de chalva, which means the whey, where the liquid still contains some of the milk solids in it, so you've gotten out most of them when they became cheese or the butter or whatever, but then you still have some solids in it. Then you have where you can cook that and skim off all of the solids, and all you have left is a clear liquid that doesn't really contain much of anything of the original proteins and whatever of the milk in it. All it contains basically is the liquid of the milk. That would be what the Gemara is calling mecholav over here, and that's what's saying that there's no iser d'oraisa on cooking with it, only at most d'rabanan, as opposed to, according to the Rosh, if you're talking about the actual whey from which, for example, kutach can be made, then in fact a person would be chayav on cooking on it d'oraisa. Okay. So two different understandings about that. Similarly, also the Braisa continues, Dam Shabishle B'cholav Potter. Similarly, if a person cooked blood together with milk, he would also be Potter as Basa B'cholav. It would still be Osir, and it's Osir anyway because it's blood, but he wouldn't be Chayav for Basa, he wouldn't be Chayav for Basa B'cholav. If they gave Masura for blood, then he's going to be chayav for blood. That's according to the Rambam. Most Rishonim disagree because, again, blood was cooked. And as we learned a few days ago, cooked blood is also only the Rabbanan. Okay, in any case, the Braisa continues, Ha'atzomas, bones, Va'gidim, or Gidim, which we had before. Gidim means various long, thin structures in the body, so it includes nerves like the Gidanosha, it includes tendons, it includes ligaments, it includes blood vessels, nerves, etc. All of those are under the category of Gidim. None of those are, in and of themselves, edible. Va'kanayim and the horns, va'tlafayim or the hooves, the bishlon b'cholav, any of those things, if he cooked them in milk, potter, then he would be potter again because they're not edible. Again, it would be also derabanan, but he wouldn't be chayev on a d'oraisa level. On the other hand, the Braisa continues, a pigle va noser va tomish, a bishlon b'cholav. On the other hand, if a person cooks pigle or noser or tome, kodshim, in milk, then he'd be chayev. Now, on the face of it, those are no different, for example, than chalev. They're all equally osir from before, and yet we see that the isur of basa b'cholav is able to be chal on them. Well, why should it be any different with chalev and milk? So then, when you have between Rab Ami and Rab Asi, where one of them said that chalev and milk is not going to be an isur d'oraisa, well, why not? Why should it be any different than pigul nosur or tame? And the idea would be that, fine, the Gemara would assume, in other words, Rashi explains, the Tana of this Braisa may hold that Ein Isur Chalal Isur, but he would hold that because one of the times where it says Gdi comes to teach us that it can be Chal on top of other Isurim as well. So then in that case, why shouldn't it apply? Then it should be the same thing with Chalev as well. And the answer is no. Hi Tana, Sava Isur Chalal Isur. No, this Tana holds that in general, Isur Chalal Isur. We don't need a special limud from one of the times where it says Gdi to tell us that. So therefore he's going to tell us that Pigul, Noser, and Tomei are going to be subject to Basa B'cholav as well. But that doesn't mean that in fact there can't be other opinions, other Tanoim, and therefore other Amoroim, who hold that one Isur is not Chal on another. So very well then, this Braisa is not a contradiction to the opinion that says that Ein Isur Chal al Isur. Fine. So the Gemara says, we have no proof from this Braisa one way or the other. So you have a machloikus whether a person is chayev if he cooks chaylev in cholov or not. La'alocha, we say that isur is chalal isur in various cases, including where it's an isur moisif or isur kolal, as we've learned previously. So here we'd have to see whether in fact basa b'cholav is an isur moisif on top of isur chaylev. So here the halacha is we don't consider it that, because as we learned previously, the Rambam in particular holds where there's no new issur of eating it, then the issur of cooking it is not going to apply either, and therefore in fact we don't say that if a person cooks chaylev in milk, that he should be chayev malchus for that. So it'll be also of course by virtue of the fact that it's chaylev, but again that would mean that if he's going to get malchus for it, it would have to mean that they would have to give him masra for they'd have to give masra for chaylev, not for they'd have to give masra for chaylev, not for not for basa b'chalav. Fine. So therefore, in short, the Rambam is going to say in a case like that, therefore, so if he cooks meat of a nevela or chaylev or whatever in milk, then he's going to get malchus for cooking it, but not for eating it, because he won't be chal on it. Okay, fine. Now let's get back to, we said in the Braisa Mevashal B'mei Cholov Potter, we said if a person cooks with Mei Cholov meat and Mei Cholov, then he's going to be Potter. And again, you have this machlokas, what Mei Cholov means, whether it means whey, or whether it means even after you filtered out the solids from the whey, and all you have left basically is a clear liquid. So the Gemara says Misailei L'Rish Lakish. Well, that statement in the Braisa supports what Rish Lakish says. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Machshirim. So it talks about over there. It goes through all the dinim of when food becomes wetted with one of the shiva mashkim, with one of the seven things that are considered liquids in halacha. Then, as we've learned a number of times in our Masechta, and we're going to learn various times in the future, that's the shem. That then now it becomes susceptible mukshel kabel tuma, and one of those liquids is milk. So the Mishnah says, Mei cholav harein kecholav, that milk water, again this whey or less than whey, as the case may be, is considered like milk for that purpose. So therefore, the same way as if food gets wetted with whole milk, it's going to be mukshel kabel tuma, the same way if it gets wetted with whey. V'hamoichal harei kashemen, and also you should know that moichal is considered for that purpose like oil. Moichal is a liquid that flows out of oil, out of olives after they become softened. What you generally do is, when you want to press the olives, the olives themselves, when you take them off the tree, are often fairly hard. You want them to be as soft as possible so you can extract the maximum amount of oil out of them. So usually what you do is, we find in many places in Shas, you would put them in a big pile until they become softened, and then you press them. So now, as they're softening, then a liquid flows out of them, and that liquid is called moichal. We have in the Mishnayos that we learned for Yortzeit and during the 11 months, we have a number of times in Yeshmal and Samitra, we have that. There it's called moichal with a hay, but it's the same thing, basically. In any case, the Mishnah says that has the din of oil, and therefore, if that liquid touches foods, then it's going to be machshir than makabal trauma. So the Omer Rish Lakish, now, so Omer Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish explains on that. Lo shonu ela hachshiras hazroyim. That only applies as far as making seeds or other kinds of food, mukshel kabel truma. Then we say that the whey or the moichal, the olive sap, is enough to be machshirim. Aval inin bishol basa b'cholav. But when it comes to cooking, basa b'cholav, mei cholav einet b'cholav, then milk water is not considered like milk. Well, very well then. That's what Rish Lakish had said. And now we see that. The Braisa says exactly the same thing. So again, what the definition of mei cholav is, then you have the different opinions. Then you have the different opinions about that. Okay. Fine. The Gemara continues, Tana Rabbana, now we learn in a Braisa. So now, so far we've been focusing on what kind of meat is osur as basar b'cholav, and we established that since it says a bunch of times gdi, so we said that those include and exclude various kinds. So we said, according to Shmuel, it included chaylev, and it included meat from an animal that died without shtita. On the other, it also included an animal found alive in the womb, a shlil. On the other hand, it excluded the shilya, the amniotic sac, and we went through details like that. We talked about it excluded the blood, and so forth, and we had this whole discussion of what, so the bottom line is, we said the word gdi means not just a kid goat. It means any kind of meat from a kosher animal, so it includes sheep and cows and wild animals as well, and wild kosher animals as well. Now we're going to focus on the b'chalev imai part, and its mother's milk. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when it says b'chalev imai, when it says in its mother's milk, eini ela b'chalev imai. So you would only know from that that it means in its actual own mother's milk. B'chalev parav arocha minayin, how would we know, for example, that you can't cook the meat of a goat in the milk of a cow or of a ewe? How do you know that not? Now Rashi points out over here that here we had a braisa before that said that gedi included all kinds of animals. The Tana of this braisa evidently disagrees with that. He says the word gedi does mean specifically a goat. The fact that the isur of basa b'chalav includes other kinds of animals, he's going to learn from one of the extra times that it says gedi. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains like this: if he held that the word gedi automatically includes all the other animals, like we said before, then there would be no reason to have a separate limud to tell us that it also includes the milk of other species, because then we're going to say that we're going to learn in a couple of blot that when we have that Rabbi Akiva holds that the fact that it says gedi a bunch of times tells us not wild animals and not birds. That only works according to the opinion that gedi means all species. So then we have to say that then the Torah is telling us that it would include all species of animals. So how do we know that it doesn't also include minat Torah, wild animals and birds? If you say that gedi means dafka a goat, then you have those other psukim are coming for various ribuyim, and you don't need. And therefore, the Tana of this braisa evidently holds that no, gedi means dafka goats, and therefore he needs a special limud to say that when it comes to the milk, that it's also going to be that you need to be able to include the milk of other species. Tosfos understands somewhat differently. Tosfos says that, listen, if you're talking about the same species in its own species milk, then you don't need that. Again, if D means, like we said before, any species, then automatically B'chalev Ema would mean a female of the same species. The question is, how do we know that it means cross species? Okay, so how do we know? So the answer is Amit Kavachomer. The answer is you can say a Kavachomer to prove that it applies cross species as well. So according to Rashi, we needed to know, first of all, that it applies to all species of kosher animals, and second of all, that it also includes the milk of all kosher species. According to Tosfos, we already know that it includes any species with the same species milk. We need to know how it applies with milk and meat cross species. Okay, anyway, the Braita is Amar to Kavachomer. You can make a Kavachomer to demonstrate that. Uma imo shele nestra ima bahaba. When it comes to an animal's own mother, you're not also to crossbreed them. With human beings, of course, they have all kinds of dinim of arayas, but you don't have that with animals. You're perfectly allowed to take a male animal and mate it with its own mother, and there's no issur in that. So then, nesra ima b'bishuloi, and yet the Torah is telling us you can't cook them together. Well then, when you start with a goat, with a male goat, and you're not allowed to mate it together with a cow or together with a ewe, because that's cross breeding, and that's also anyway as kilayim. Ain't it dinshin nesra ima b'bishuloi? Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that it's also to cook them together? So the pasuk says Talmud Loma b'chalev ima, and the pasuk says in its mother's milk, so that comes to include the milk of other species as well. Now the Gemara is going to ask a second that why do you even need that? If we had a kavachomer, then why do we need a limud from the pasuk as well? But Rashi again explains that the fact that it says a bunch of times in the Torah b'chalev ima, each of them were going to learn a different drasha with it. Shmuel that I held before, that we learn it comes not to exclude the milk of a male and the milk of a shchuta and the milk of a non-kosher animal. According to this Tana, the fact that it says b'chalev ima automatically it excludes males and excludes a shchuta, and therefore the other two b'chalev ima we're going to use for other drashas.
What's the basis for the kavachomer?
The Kavachomers were saying, you're allowed to take, for example, you would be perfectly allowed to take a male goat and breed it together with its own mother. There's no issue in that. You're not allowed to crossbreed species, but within a species itself, we don't care that they're closely genetically related, even mother and son. It's perfectly allowed. But you're not allowed to crossbreed with a different species. You can't take a male goat and mate it together with a female sheep, a ewe. So then, Allah Kama Kama, if the Torah is telling us then that you can't cook the kid in its own mother's milk, how much more so you can't cook it in the milk of another species as well? But now,
what does that have to do? One second, I don't understand the Kavachomer. cooking and mating are two different things.
They are, but nevertheless, we see that the Torah is concerned about coarse mixing species, but it's not concerned about so to speak, incest within the same species. Well, when it comes to Basar v'Chalav, clearly the Torah is telling us don't cook even in its own mother's milk. So then how much more so, if you can't even in its own mother's milk, how much more so in the milk of a female of a different species? Because then all the more so it would be mixing things together that don't belong together.
Well, cooking is much less than mating. You can understand it with mating, but why did you say you go from cooking to mating?
Because the fact is, with both of them, you have a similarity. In fact, actually, there was a sicha on it this past week. There was a sicha in one of the projects, the Kodesh Sichas thing, where they ever pointed out that among the various kinds of kilayim, the only one of the things that's also as kilayim, after all, is shatnez. But there's no issur to make shatnez clothes, whereas there is an issur to make kilayim of any other kind. And Basar v'Chalav included, you're not allowed to cook them together. So therefore, the Gemara really can assume that there's a certain similarity between them, and therefore that we can derive from one to the other, and therefore we can say that if you're not allowed to cross breed together two different species to, in effect, make a hybrid between them, how much more so then you're not allowed to cook with the milk of one species, the meat of one species, and the milk of another, and then make that kind of hybrid as well.
Yeah, but here we're talking about within the same species, aren't we?
Yeah. No, that's what we're saying. If the Torah is asking you here, even within the same species, then how much more so across species? Where when it comes to crossbreeding or not, you're allowed to breed animals within the same species, even though they're mother and son.
Why is it more chamor to across species and within a species?
Because the Torah doesn't want you to mix species. So therefore, so if you're mating together...
But mixing is not cooking.
No. Okay. When it comes to breeding them, you're not creating a new species. Therefore, the Torah is fine with that. So the only thing would be, they're related. Is there a problem with that? The Torah is saying there's not a problem mating between two related creatures is also only for human beings, not for animals. On the other hand, when it comes to Basar v'Chalav, we see the Torah is clearly telling us, don't cook the kid in its mother's milk. So even though you're talking about this is an animal that would have been perfectly allowed to breed together with it, but you're not allowed to cook in its milk. So then how much more so, an animal that you're not even allowed to breed with it, how much more so then you're not allowed to cook in its milk? That's the Kal v'Chomer.
If you're not allowed to cook in its milk, you're not allowed to breed it in its species.
No, if you're not allowed to cook, if you're not allowed to breed across species, how much more so you're not allowed to cook across species? Because when it comes to breeding, you are allowed. Because when you're breeding, you're allowed to do it within the same species. You're allowed to have the two animals of the same species can breed, and it doesn't matter how they're related. Yet when it comes to cooking, but when it comes to cooking, the Torah is telling you don't. So then if you can't even within the same species, how much more so across species?
Well, you could get to the exact reverse conclusion. You could say, since the Torah tells you not to cook within one species, it allows to cook across other species.
No, because then that the Kal v'Chomer tells us the opposite. The Kal v'Chomer tells us even in a case where you're allowed to breed them, you're still not allowed to cook them. So then in a case where you're not allowed to breed them, how much more so you can't cook them? That's the essence of the Kal v'Chomer.
Right,
let's go on. We can discuss this more afterwards if we need to. Okay. So again, Amar Kal v'Chomer, so you can say Kal v'Chomer. Ma imo shel nesu imo b'haba, ma doch a mother who is not also with her own child to mate them within the same species. Nesu imo b'vishule, and yet the Torah is telling us you can't cook them together. Part of a rochel shel nesu imo b'haba, so then a cow or a ewe, where they're also even to breed together, ain't a din shel nesu imo b'vishule, how much more so that they're also to cook together the milk of one with the meat of the other. And the pasuk says Talmud Lomar b'chalev imoy, and therefore the Torah tells us b'chalev imoy and says in its mother's milk, which comes to include any species that has milk. So we want to ask v'halom alikra. Yeah, but why do you need a pasuk for that? If you have a perfectly good Kal v'Chomer, then why do you need that? Tosfos actually points out there's a different question the Gemara could ask. You're not allowed to crossbreed an animal with a bird or across birds, and yet Rabbi Akiva holds in our Mishnah, and we're going to discuss in more detail later on, that he holds that the Issur of Basar v'Chalav Daraisa doesn't apply with bird meat or with wild animal meat. So the Gemara could have asked that, but fine, the Gemara is asking a better question. So first, the question is, why do we need a pulsic anyway if we have a kava choymer? And the answer is, Amar Abashi, Mishum de Ikalamem, Meikr de Dina Pircha. Because you could slug up the kava choymer in the first place. You want to tell me that once the Torah says that it's also to breed them, then how much more so it's also to cook them together, but there is a way you could slug it up. Because Mehecha Kamaisis law, where are you bringing what's the basis of the kava choymer? Me'imari, where you're saying that you're allowed to breed the baby together with its mother, but you're not allowed to cook them together. But the fact is, Mala Imish, became Nasir Imish B'Shchita. On the other hand, you find a Chumra with the mother and the baby that you don't find with any other. Namely, you can't shech them on the same day. The din of Oisiv Espinoi, that we learned extensively about earlier in our Masechta. So there you have a Chumra that you have with the mother that you don't have with a different species. So Toyma B'Pora, Shalai Nasir Imish B'Shchita. So how do you compare it to a cow? There's no issue of shechting it on the same day as the goat. So therefore, you could argue, fine, you have a kula when it comes to a baby, when it comes to a mother and baby goat, namely that you could, namely that you can breed them. But on the other hand, you have a chumra that you can't shech them on the same day. So then how can you make a kava chumra from that to a cow, where on the one hand you have a chumra you can't course breed them together, but on the other hand you have a kula you could shech them both on the same day, because obviously they're not mother and baby. So because of that, Rav Ashi points out, therefore the kava chumra doesn't really work. And therefore, Talmud Lomer, B'chalei V'imoy, that is why the Torah needs to say the words B'chalei V'imoy to tell us that even so, even though the Kavah Chomer itself doesn't work, nevertheless the Torah still tells us B'chalei V'imoy, and that it does apply to any species that has milk. So therefore, it is going to include cows and ewes as well. Rashi goes into some detail over here and explains that when you talk about slugging up a kava choymer, you can talk about the beginning of the kava choymer or the end of it. And here the Gemara is using the expression ikra de dina pircha, meaning the first stage of the kava choymer is already troublesome, because you're trying to learn from the fact that you can't cook with the, you know, that you're trying to learn from the fact that there's a kula with the mother and the baby, and there's a chumra compared to that when it comes to other animals. But on the other hand, you find a chumra over there also, namely that you can't shech them together. So this is called ikra de dina pircha. Right away from the beginning of the kava choymer already, you have a flaw in it, because even though you have one kula, you have a chumra as well. To contradict the kava chumra at the end would be that we would find something else that has the same chumra. But here we're not doing that. We're saying within it itself, you want to argue it has a kula, but the same thing also has a chumra. So that is why the Torah needs to say b'chalevi. Okay, the Gemara says Tanya Idach, then we learn in another Braisa, B'chalev Imoi. Now, another time when it says B'chalev Imoi in its mother's milk, in the other B'chalev Imoi, so that would tell us only its mother's milk, B'chalev Achoyse G'dorla Minayin, how would we know that it applies also to its older sister? So what do we mean by its older sister? So Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it can mean that Gdola literally means bigger. So Rashi first gives an explanation that it means that Gdola over here actually means a larger species. So therefore it means the same limud as we're trying to do in the previous Braisa, to include also a cow, which is a larger species than a goat. Therefore it's calling it the big one. And then on the other hand, Rashi further on, at the beginning of the next Amud, brings an explanation from Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam, who was one of his contemporaries, that he says that no, actually, Achoyse Gdola actually means within the same species itself, and it means that older as in born in an earlier year. So in other words, according to Rashi's first explanation, when we say Achoyse Gdola, this second Braisa is going to be telling us the same as the previous one. It's going to be showing in a different way how we know that it includes the milk of a different species. According to Rabbi Yosef Torelam's explanation, it's going to be a different point. How do we know that it includes an animal that was necessarily born in an earlier year? Namely, in other words, when it comes to a mother and baby, sometimes you could have them born within the same mice or year. Sometimes an animal may mature fast enough that it's able to become pregnant and have a baby within the same year of mice or behemoth, as we're going to go on to discuss. So how do we know Achoyse Gdola, that includes his older sister, Minayin, and how do we know? So here again, Amarka Kavachomer. Here again, you can use a Kavachomer. Madach's mother, where conceivably it and its baby could go into the pen at the same time from Maisa Behema. We're going to learn, and we're going to learn Masechta Bechoros, the next Masechta, that's the Hashem. We're going to talk near the end of it. We're going to talk all about the dinim of Maisa Behema. And we're even going to have cases where you have three generations that were all born within the same year, and all of them go. The rule is that all the animals born within the same year, you put them in the pen when it comes time. For Maisa Behema, you put them in a pen, and they come out one at a time, and then you count the tenth one, as Maisa, and that would apply even if they're from different generations. So in other words, a mother and baby conceivably can be considered from the same generation as far as Maisa Behema, and yet the Torah is telling us that you can't cook the meat of one in the milk of the other. So then, when it comes to this achoisa gdola, which doesn't go into the pen for meiser, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that it would be also to cook them together? Again, according to Rashi's first explanation, the word achoisa gdola would mean a different species, a different larger species, and it doesn't go into the pen in the sense that when you have, you have a certain number of sheep and goats that are born in a particular year, and you have a certain number of cows that were born in a certain year, you don't put them together in the pen and start counting them indiscriminately. You count the cows by themselves and the sheep and goats by themselves. We're going to learn in Bechoros, that's the Shem, that for that purpose, sheep and goats go together. Cows, there are a whole different species. Cattle are a whole different species. So therefore, so according to that explanation, achoisa gdola would mean that cows are never placed together with sheep or goats to be meisered. And yet, so then, if we're saying within the same species itself, with the mother and baby, how much more so, and they could conceivably be counted together for meiser, and nevertheless, you can't cook in the milk of the other, how much more so when it comes to a different species? According to Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam's explanation that Rashi mentions at the beginning of the next Talmud, then we would say that a chosik gdola literally means its older sister, as in an animal born in a previous year of meiser, where again it's not going to go into the pen because once an animal has been counted for meiser, you don't ever count it again for meiser, as we're going to learn again in Masechta Bechoros. We'll learn all about that point. That's the Shem, and so therefore, by definition, a sister, an older female born in a previous year, is never going to be in the pen together with this baby from meiser. So then, how much more so then that you can't cook in its milk? So that would be a way of learning that it applies to that. So then the sister, the older sister, or the larger species, as the case may be, which does not go into the same pen, to be counted for meiser, in addition, how much more so that you can't cook them together? And again, the Braisa finishes off, and the Torah tells us, and again, the question is, but why do you need a posik for that? We have a perfectly good kavachomer. What's wrong with that? And again, and Rav Ashi says the same problem that you have over here, the same thing, you can slug up the kavachomer from the beginning, namely that you can find, you're arguing that there's a chumrah, in the mother versus the older sister, but again, there's a kula in the mother versus the older sister, because you're arguing they count together for Maisa Behema, and that means one of them can pass through the other, but on the other hand, again, Mala Imesh, came Nasir Ima Beshkita, on the other hand, again, the mother is also to Shecht on the same day as the baby. How do you compare to Achoise Gdola, however you define it, to a Nasir Ima Beshkita, which is not also with it in Shkita, you can Shecht them on the same day. So therefore, you can slug up the Kavachoyma to begin with. And therefore, Talmud Lema Bachalev Imai, therefore the Torah tells us Bachalev Imai. So according to Rashi's first explanation, this is the same as the previous Braisa, it's just phrasing it differently. Instead of calling it a cow, instead of referring to a cow or a sheep, instead it refers to Achoise Gdola, but it means the same thing and it's Daushin in the same time when it says Bachalev Imai. According to Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam, which Rashi prefers that explanation, then this is a separate point. Before we were talking about different species. Now we're talking about an older female of the same species, and we're using a different Bachalev Imai for that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Achosek Dola. Fine, so far so good. Then that covers a larger sister. Achosek Tana Minayin. What about a smaller sister? Which, according to Rashi, would mean an animal smaller than a goat, which would be therefore a female sheep. And according to Rabbi Yosef Tovelim, what would mean? A younger female. So how would we know Minayin? How do we know you can't cook in its milk as well? And the answer is Asim Binaya. For that, you can use a Tzad HaShoveh. For that, you can use, sometimes you have, and you can learn one thing from another with a Kal V'Chomer, but sometimes you have, where each thing has a separate Chumrah and a separate Kula, and you can combine them together and learn a Kal V'Chomer from the combination. So, mehe tese, because how would you try to learn it? Tese me'imo, you'd try to learn only from the mother. Again, mala ima shekin nasi ima b'shita. Then you can't, because the mother and the baby are also to shech on the same day because oisev espinoi. Achosek gola techiach. Well, then you would say, well, on the other hand, consider the achosek gola, where there's no ifter to shech them on the same day. However you define achosek gola. But you're going to say, Mala Achosek Dola Shalanichasayim Ladulay Sasser. On the other hand, Achosek Dola doesn't go into the pen to be maestered, either because it's a different species or because it belongs to a previous year. So you would answer, Imer Techiach. Yeah, but you can also show from the mother, where after all, they do go into the pen together and they are maestered. V'chozo Adin. So you would go back and forth between them. Loyve Izev, Kirizev, Loyve Izev, Kirizev. Each one has a feature, not like the other one. Hatsada Shavashabahem, what do they have in common? Shahu Bosov, also Lavasha Bachalov. In each case, you're talking about milk, you're talking about meat, which is also to cook with milk. Afani Ovi, Achosek Tana. So then you can also include the younger sister or the smaller species, Shehu Bosser, which is also flesh of also Lavasha Bachalov, and you can't cook it in milk either. So you can learn like that. And in fact, it is going to be also whether the other animal that produced the milk is older or younger, and whether it belongs to the same species or the different species. So in fact, we can learn in the end that it does apply to all of them. Now, one more thing we need to do. The Gemara is going to have to point out soon. What about to cook the animal in its own milk? What about to take meat from the animal itself and cook it in its own milk? We're going to have to deal with that. That we're going to have to deal with on Omer Beis. So the Gemara says, Yehoch Yachosek Doyle Nami Tesi Mibinaya. Well, if you're going to learn that way, then you could also learn Achosek Doyle from the same kind of thing. Once you have, in other words, if you can learn that it applies to the mother, and it applies to a younger sister or a smaller species, then you can learn a larger species or an older sister from the same kind of Tzadashoveh. So why does the pasuk need to tell us b'chaleivimoy to include the older sister? For you would start with a kal v'chomer. You're not allowed to cook with chaleivimoy, even though you're allowed to breed them together. Or you're going to start like this. You're not allowed b'chaleivimoy, even though it could be meisered together. So how much more so achosek dola, which cannot be meisered with him? But you're going to say, on the other hand, with a mother, you have oisev espinoy. So you're going to say, well, you can prove to the contrary from a cow where you don't have an iser, a different species, where you don't have an iser on the same day. And then we're going to say, yeah, but on the other hand, you see that you can't crossbreed them together and you don't meister them together. So then you're going to say, imo techiach, yeah, but you can show from the mother where, after all, you are allowed to crossbreed them and they can be meistered together. So in other words, you don't even need to bring in a special limud for an older sister in order to prove this whole point. You should be able to prove it. You should be able to prove it just like that. Now, here's where Rashi points out that if you learn Achosek Dola to mean a different species, then we're kind of jumping the gun over here, because then we're assuming that an older one is also without having clear proof for it in the pasuk. So here's where Rashi says that actually he prefers Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam's explanation, that in fact when we said an older sister, we actually meant that a female, an older female of the same species who's from a previous Maaser year, and therefore it works out very nicely. We're saying that we can clearly show that Basa B'cholav applies to its own mother, because the Torah says so. We can clearly show from the previous Kal V'Chomer, and from the fact that it says the first time B'chalev Imoy, that it applies across species. And now we could use that base. We could use that as well to learn the older sister, and we could use a Tzad HaShoveh for that as well. So why do we need another limud for the older sister, and then have to resort to a Tzad HaShoveh for the younger sister? So the Gemara says, Eino Chanami, in fact, that's so. We could have learned that, right? Ella b'chalev imoy lomali. So why, in fact, does the Torah say b'chalev imoy? So for the first time is the gufay, just to tell us that you can't cook basa b'chalev in the first place. The second one would be to tell us that it can't be cross species. But now, what you could in fact learn the older or the younger sister. You could in fact learn them from the same side of Shava. So why do we have the third one? And the answer is in Baila v'Chedetanya. We use that to teach us what it says in a Braisa. When it says Bachalev Imoy, when it says in its mother's milk, in the Ella Bachalev Imoy, then you would only know that it means it's mother's milk, or at least the milk of a mother, whether of the same species or a different species, or even where it wasn't a mother yet, but it's eventually able to become a mother like we learned before. We still have to ask. He asked me, b'chalav aminayin. How would we know that you're not allowed to cook the meat of the actual animal itself in its own milk? So maybe, for example, you could conceivably shecht a female goat and then cook the meat of it in its own milk. How would you know that not? None of the limudim that we worked before are gonna, none of the limudim we said before are gonna cover that. And the answer is Amar to Kavachomer. So here's where we can make another Kavachomer. Now, when you have, for example, when it comes to shechting, the two fruits, two products are not also in shechita at the same time. Namely, for example, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you could shecht two sibling animals on the same day, and there's no issue in that. Nesaprima ain't b'shchita. But when it comes to shchita, you can't shech the pri, you can't shech the product together with the mother because so therefore, so we see that when it comes to the child and the mother, you have a chumra on that. So then, makam shenesa pre and pre bishul. Well, then, when it comes to cooking, we already established that you can't cook the meat of one in the sibling one. Because as we said, for example, you can't cook the meat of a goat or of any other animal in its older or younger sister's milk. Ain't a din shenesa pre ma aim a bishul. So then, wouldn't it be a kavachomer anyway that you can't cook with the mother's milk? So why did the Torah even need to tell us? So why did the Torah even need to tell us the mother in the first place? Why don't we do that? So why anyway does the pasuk need to say b'chalev imoy in the first place? Therefore, tamad lema b'chalev imoy. So and therefore the pasuk says b'chalev imoy. Now again, we want to ask halomali kra. Yeah, but why do you need a pasuk called asila? At this point, we have a perfectly good kavachomer to say that to say. That it would cut. I read it wrongly over here. Prima aim actually over here means the product with the mother, namely the product being the flesh of the animal itself, together with its own milk. In other words, we would say that we can make a kavachomer to show. That even where you're allowed to shech two sibling animals on the same day, but you're not allowed to cook them together. So how much more so then also you can't cook meat with milk where they're products of the same body. So we see, in other words, that we see it the same way as we see by Oysev Es Benoy, where the Torah is more machmer on the product together with the mother, and the same thing with Basa B'Cholav it should be. In fact, the Rosh actually points out there's two slightly different gersois in the Gemara over here, and two ways you can understand the Kavachomer. So one way of understanding it is you make a Kavachomer from Oysev Es Benoy to Basa B'Cholav. By Oysev Es Benoy, again, there's no issur of siblings, but by Basa B'Cholav it is. So therefore we see Basa B'Cholav is stronger, and therefore we say how much more so than pre ima aim, the product together with the mother, namely the milk itself that came out of the mother, should be also with the mother itself. And the other way of looking would be by Oysev Es Benoy, you say that's also the baby with the mother, but not two babies with one another. So therefore we see the Torah is being more machmer on a baby together with the mother, and therefore, so by Basa B'Cholav, then if even pre with pre is also, how much more so pre with aim? It's a slight variation on how we learn the Kavachomer. In any case, we would have a kavachomer to tell us that, in fact, the product of the animal is also together with the animal itself, namely the animal itself is also together with its own milk. And again, the Gemara says, Talmud Loimah, therefore the positive is, b'chalev imoy, in its mother's milk. Again, holomadikra, but what do you need a posik or astula? At this point, you have a kavachomer. And the answer is, Rabbi Chadbe Ba'ami answers, Mishum de ikal meimer, because you can slug up the kavachomer. Now, it's not necessarily going to be the ikra de dina. It's not going to be by showing that there's a chumra in the beginning of the kavachomer, where you were thinking to find a kula over there. You're not necessarily going to find that. But nevertheless, here it's going to be a question on soif dina. Here it's going to be a question on the second stage of the kavachomer. Namely, you could say, sus ben susya achi pirdo yechiach. Consider the case of a male horse born from a female horse, a full pure-blooded horse, achi pirda, where it's the brother of the a mule. So let's say, in other words, you had two parent horses, you had a stallion and a mare that mated and had a baby, which is another stallion, another male. Now let's say this female horse, this mare, the mother, was also at one point bred together with a donkey and gave birth to a mule. So now you have, this mother has two children, one of which is a pure horse and the other one is a mule. Now, to also preempt, now you're not allowed to cross breed the two siblings, because one of them is a horse and the other one is a mule, and they're considered two species. But you would be allowed to breed the baby animal, the baby horse, the male horse, together with its mother. So we see, in other words, that when it comes to kilayim, sometimes you can have pre, that two siblings can be also more so than pre and aim. Well, maybe by basar b'chalav as well. And the Torah is telling us lo sevashu gdiba chalev imoy, because that would be pre, that would be two products together. But maybe. Because that would be pre. You have the baby, which is the product of the mother, in the milk, which is also a product of the mother. But maybe when you're talking about the animal itself together with its milk, then maybe it's not. Maybe it wouldn't be osir. So therefore, you can't learn the kavachomer, and therefore you need the pasuk. But the Gemara says no, because chosim zera avu to kogorim. Because there you have another factor as well. You know what causes the isser? It's not the fact that they're pre. The fact is, because you have a father over there, and which is of a different species, because in the case of the second animal, the father is a donkey, and therefore that's why it's kilayim. But when it comes to basa b'chalav, you don't have that whole issue of kilayim. So maybe indeed you could learn. Then maybe indeed you could learn that you could learn the kavachomer, after all, that the Torah is asking pre, the baby animal together with which is a product of the mother, together with the milk, which is also a product of that animal. Maybe in fact it would be like that. But on the other hand, where it's a product together with it itself, the animal in its own milk, maybe that would be mutter. On the contrary, it wouldn't be mutter. On the contrary, we would have a kavachomer. We'd have the good kavachomer that we had before. So again, why do we need the pasuk? And the Gemara points out, Daha, because I can show you another example with sibling animals where crossbreeding is mutter. Daha pered ben susia. Consider the other way around. When you have a mule born from a female horse, achi pirda, and it's the brother of a female mule, yechiach, then prove from that the mutter pre, whether you are allowed to breed the two baby animals together, because they both have the same species of mother, and they both have the same species of father. Each one, they both come from the same mother, a female horse, and they both come from male donkeys. And yet the also prima aim, but you wouldn't be allowed to breed the male together with its mother, because the male is a mule and the female is a horse. So you see that it can go either way. It all depends on what the father was. So it has nothing to do with pre and aim, one being more chomer than the other. So that doesn't really work then. So you can't say that you can slug up the kavachomer based on this consideration about horses and mules. Okay. The Gemara says, Ella oma ma brede ravina. So rather, fine. Ma brede ravina says, here's another way of looking at it. Mishum de iklameme, evid ben shifcha achim mishufreret yechiach. How about prove from the case where you have a slave, an evid knani, who was born to a shifcha knanith, and his sister is already a freed woman, who is considered, now the brother then, so the brother is still an evid. He has all the dinim of an evid knani. Meanwhile, his sister was born a shifcha as well, but now at some point she was emancipated and now becomes a full-fledged Jewish woman. Yechiach, to prove from that. So now the two children are also with one another. The Eved the Eved, as long as they're, now what it is as long as they're all Avodim and Shvachos, then the dinim of Arayus would not apply to them. The son would actually be able to marry his sister. They're full brother and sister. Doesn't matter. Halacha says Eved and Lechayus, Avodim are not considered to have Yuchsid. So therefore we would completely ignore the genetic relationship between them and they would be allowed. But once the sister was emancipated and became a Shifcha Meshachreres, now she and her brother would be also, because now he's still an Eved, and an Eved is not allowed to have relations with a Jewish woman. This is actually a pasuk in this Shabbos' parasha. There was a pasuk, La Yiyah Kaddish, B'nei Yisrael, includes that an Eved is not allowed to have relations with a free Jewish woman, and vice versa, a Shifcha with a free Jewish man. So in that case, consider she also pre and pre. So in that case, the two children are also to have relations. Umota pre and aim, but the child would be allowed with the aim because they're an Eved and a Shifcha respectively. Now Rashi has an interesting explanation over here. Rashi says that the Eved is mutter in the min of his mother. Namely, Rashi apparently would hold that he's also with his actual mother herself, because the fact is she's his mother. On the other hand, the Gemara elsewhere explains that in fact an Eved is even allowed to marry his mother. There's considered absolutely no Isser of Arayus when it comes to Avodim. The Rambam actually writes that Avodim are also in male to male relations and in bestiality, because those are equally applicable to everybody. But Arayus having to do with family relations are not applicable to Avodim. In any case, so there you have an example, says Ma'abrei Dervina. So you see that two children are also to marry, but the child together with his mother would not. So then we can do the same kind of thing over here. When it comes to Basa B'chalav, don't cook the kid in its mother's milk, where you have two products of the mother, the kid and the milk, but maybe the meat of the goat in its own milk would be mutter. That would be mother with pri, which is mutter. So therefore, you could slug up the kavachomer, and therefore you need the pasuk. But again, the Gemara answers that's not
you're
a valid.
You're comparing humans to animals? You can derive from which.
Well, no,
that's what you're doing here.
Yeah, well, fine, because we're saying so no problem. I mean, look, as far the fact is, we're saying they're human, but they also don't have the normal genome of humans as far as Arias either. But yeah, I mean, we see that there's a case. You see where there's a case where we were more machmer on pre in pre than we are on pre in aim. Yes. So therefore, we should be able to derive from that. Maybe we should be able to say, by the same logic, you could say that pre in pre, the meat of the baby animal should be also with its mother's milk, because they're both products of the mother. But to say, because of that, that the meat of the animal itself should be also with its own milk, where that's pre in aim, maybe it would be mutter the same way as this Eved is mutter with his mother. And the answer is, the Gemara says no, because Hossam get Shichru Hudukagarim. Because again, there you have another factor, the same way as by the horse and the mule, where we said there's another factor to consider, namely there's a donkey involved. Here there's also another factor, the fact that she received a get Shichru, she received a document emancipating her, so it has nothing to do with the fact that they're pre and pre. Not because they're pre and pre, but because she's now freed and she has a different status. That has nothing to do with Basav Cholav. So therefore, after all, our original Kavachoyma was valid. And after all, again, the Gemara says, "Dahal Eved ben Meshachreres achi Shifcha yechiach." Because consider the other way around: what happens if the boy is still an Eved, and then afterwards his mother was freed and he was not? Achi Shifcha, and his sister is also a Shifcha yechiach. Then you can prove the contrary from that. Shemuta pri and pri, also pri and aim. There it's going to be the other way around. He would be perfectly allowed to marry his sister because they're Eved and Shifcha respectively, and Arias don't apply to them, but he would be also with his mother. Now, why is that? Not because she's his mother, but because she's a Meshukhreres, because now she's a free woman. So therefore, you see that when there's another factor involved, then it can go either way. Same way as we said before with the horse and the mule. So after all, then, we're back to the question, why, given that we have a good Kavachomer, then why do we need a pasuk to tell us to tell us b'chalev imar that you can't cook the meat of the animal with its own milk? So Ella Omer Rav Idi Ba'oven, so Rav Idi Ba'oven says, here's another way you can slug up the Kavachomer. Mishum de'ikalameh mekilai zroi mechichu. Consider the case of mixing different species of seeds together and planting them. So also pre and pre. Now you're not allowed to plant together pre and pre. you're not allowed to plant two different species, both of which are considered pri, both of which are products, because they're all ultimately products of the ground. Umuta pri ma'im. But you are allowed to plant, you are allowed to plant the pre to get in the mother. Namely, you plant a seed into the ground, where in effect the seed is a product of the ground, and the ground can be considered metaphorically the mother of the seed.
You allowed to cook two different species of seeds together?
Cook them together, sure you are, but here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about planting.
So you could apply the kavah chomer to animals then?
No.
Could say the seed.
Because there's no issue in the Torah to cook things together except for bas v'cholav. So we can't say just because you're allowed to cook other things, otherwise we'd tear down the whole thing of bas v'cholav in the first place. Then we'd end up saying you're allowed to cook any other two things together, therefore you're allowed to cook bas v'cholav. Obviously that's not going to work.
So cannot cook bas v'cholav because the Torah says so.
Fine, but the point is...
Otherwise, you would be able.
Okay, but the fact is, though, we can't prove to the contrary from the fact that you can cook any other two things together. All we can prove from is where the Torah does make an issur between two minim, namely in the case of seeds. It would be to plant them together. But what we're going to say is, in other words, what we're going to consider is, in other words, we would look at it, you know, nowadays that genetics has been discovered, we would look at it that a seed would be considered a product of its parent plant, basically. But the Gemara is looking at it more from the point of view that all seeds are considered to be products of the ground. There's a point in it, actually, there was an in Tanya a few days ago, that Alfred Eber was talking about the idea, like you plant a seed in the ground and a plant grows from it, but it's not fundamentally from the fact that you planted a seed. The Alfred Eber discusses more, you have to plant the seed in order to, it's called a serusa de la sata. You have to put in your effort to make the soil produce. But then ultimately, the fact that it gets produced comes, the Alfred Eber had phrased it, from the koya hatzemeach shebakarka, from the power, the vegetative power that's in the ground. So now the Gemara seems to be taking the same kind of view, basically, and saying all seeds, therefore, can be considered to derive from that vegetative power of the ground, and therefore we can consider all of them to be a free relative, they can consider all of them to be free of the ground. And then the ground itself would be considered their mother. So now, let's consider. So you're allowed, you're also to plant two pre's together, but you're allowed to plant a pre in the mother, because you're allowed to plant a seed in the ground. So therefore, that pre-im-pre is a stronger issue than pre-im-aim. So again, maybe the same thing by Bosa Bechalov, and therefore that would slog up the Kalachimer. But the Gemara asks, that's different. Klum Nessa, pre-im-pre-ela yideim. The only way that pre-im-pre is going to be also when it comes to Kalai's rhyme is through the mother. Again, like you just said, if you cook them together, it's not a problem. If you put them in the same container, it's not a problem. Only when you plant them in the mother, in the ground, is it going to be a problem. So that has nothing to do with bas v'cholav then. What are you going to say then? So what are you going to say? You're going to say therefore that by bas v'cholav pre and pre is going to be also only when it's also involving the aim as well? No. So the kavah chomer that we had originally was a perfectly good one. So why don't we do that? And the Gemara
says, you could say that actually.
Well, so one second.
Hold on.
After all, you see, you can perfectly well put wheat and barley grains in a jar, and they don't become osir. The only way they become osir is planting them in the same aim. So then why? So how would that work as far as Bosa v'cholav? Ela Omer Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, here's a different way of looking at it. Mishum de'ikal meimer, here's what you need to consider. Mala pre and pre shaken shnei gufim. When it comes to pre and pre, when it comes to a kid and its mother's milk, they were always to begin with two gufim. So therefore, you could argue the Torah doesn't want you to mix together two things that started out as separate things. Yes, they're both products of the same mother, but the fact is they came out of it differently. They came out of it at different times and then in different ways. Toim of pre aims. How do you compare to the milk together with the mother itself? She came gufechad. At one point, they were all one body. At one point, the milk was part of the body of the mother. So maybe therefore the Torah is make on that and saying you're allowed to do that. That is why the Torah needs to tell us, and therefore that extra time that says means that you can't cook the animal in its own milk either. So in other words, this is a different kind of schlugging up a kavachomer than we've done until now. Now we're saying, in other words,
I would say it's a chok. There's no justification. It's a hook. It's a decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like kosher.
Of course the hook. We're not trying to find the reason behind it. We're trying to find the parameters of when it's going to apply. So now we've established, therefore, that we could have argued that maybe the parameters of it are the Torah doesn't want us mixing two different things that came out of the same animal at different times. In other words, they were never one, not even different times. That's not the right way of putting it. They were never one goof in the first place. The milk and the baby were never one goof. They were always two separate entities within the mother. Now you're talking about it, the milk was originally the same entity as the mother. It came out of her body, after all. Maybe therefore the Torah doesn't mind if you
come from seeds.
No, not from seeds. In other words, the milk comes from glands in the mother's body. At one point, therefore, right. It was part of her body. So therefore, you could argue that maybe the Torah is not minding if you now take that milk that came out of her body and cook its own flesh in it. Therefore, that ends up schlugging up our Kal v'Chomer, and therefore, we need a pasuk to tell us that sort of thing is also as well. The Gemara is now going to start
a new discussion. If you're up to it, we can do a little bit of it, or if not, we can leave it for tomorrow.
We'll leave it for tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, so let's do that, fine. Okay, yeah, it is a bit late already. Okay, fine.
How do you apply the Gdiba Chalezimo to other species? What's the main reasoning?
So that's what we said was ultimately because we have so ultimately what we said is in the various brises we have several times where the Torah says Bachalev Imoy, and therefore it comes to include various cases that otherwise are not explicitly stated. So it includes other species. It includes even an older female of the same species according to Rashi's preferred explanation, and it includes even its own milk rather than the milk of a different animal. Ultimately, that's why it says three times, Bahalev Imoy, is we learn these three things from that.